Welcome to the Friends of Feedies podcast. This show is all about celebrating the incredible journeys of female entrepreneurs in the agri-food and food manufacturing sector. We're here to dish out the secrets of success and serve up a side of inspiration along the way. We are the Feed Program, and we are where dreams are made, businesses are born, and the agri-food world is your oyster. Let's dine together.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Friends of Feedies podcast. Be prepared to be inspired. Today, I have the privilege of introducing you to an exceptional entrepreneur who has turned her love for culinary excellence into a thriving business, enriching the lives of countless food lovers across Canada. Meet Carly Minish-Whiting, the visionary founder of Smegda, a gourmet mustard that started as a bright idea while gazing at the picturesque fields of the Swan River Valley, Manitoba. The journey led her to farmers markets, where the demand for Smegda soared, and soon enough, this delightful condiment found its way into over 400 stores in Western Canada. Carly's passion and dedication have been recognized and celebrated. In 2019, Manitoba Sobeys and Safeway stores voted her as the best overall local supply partners, a testament to the quality and impact of her product. What began as a little hobby in Carly's condo kitchen has grown into a culinary sensation that has spread for beyond the prairies. It's more than just mustard. It's a symbol of identity, purpose, and the power of purposing one's dreams. I promise you that her story will leave you motivated, uplifted, and ready to conquer your dreams. Let's dive in and discover the magic of Smegda and the inspiring entrepreneur who brought this mustard sensation to your tables. How are you, Carly?
I'm great. What a lovely introduction. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm very excited to hear your story, and I'm sure you have a lot to tell us. So let's begin from the beginning. Can you take us back to the moment when you had the idea for mustard business? Like, what inspired you and how did you feel at that time?
Yeah, so my inspiration towards Smegda was pretty unexpected. It kind of came to me. I was working in the professional kitchen. I was working towards my apprenticeship for culinary arts. And I started to kind of notice in the kitchen how my chef was using mustard in such a versatile way. You know, she was putting it in salad dressings and sauces and all sorts of things. And, you know, I always knew that mustard could be used in a lot of different ways, but to see it really tangibly in a kitchen firsthand, I was really inspired. And I thought, oh, this is kind of a cool condiment, because at the time when I was kind of going through my apprenticeship and post culinary school, you know, when people hear that you're in school to be a chef, you get a lot of questions from people. You know, how do I make this taste better? What do I do? Or what should I do in the kitchen to make this or whatever? So I always got a lot of questions from people. So to be exposed to this product, I thought, I wonder if people know that mustard can be used in such an impactful way in the kitchen and provide so much flavor and also very healthy. You know, mustard is a very healthy condiment because obviously people are, you know, starting to be really health conscious. So I kind of did a little bit of research. I really dove into the whole mustard industry. I researched, you know, where it was made, where it comes from, and I learned a lot about the actual ingredient. I learned that mustard, you know, 90% of the world's mustard comes from the Canadian prairies in Saskatchewan and Alberta, which was so cool. And I thought, this is crazy. Here's an ingredient that is grown right here in the prairies, and it all leaves. It all goes to France, it all goes to India, it goes to the US, and very little stays in Canada to be made into this value-added product. So I thought, what a perfect product for me to make. So, you know, it ties in my culinary experience and, you know, my love for where I come from, and it's perfect. So I just started tweaking my own recipes at home. The very first two recipes were our beer chipotle and our honey horseradish mustard. And I kind of found some base recipes online and I tweaked them with these ingredients and I added a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And that's really just how it started. So super innocent, super, you know, didn't really think it was going to go very far, but I thought, why not just try it? So, yeah,
very, very interesting story. So everything just started naturally. And from the stories I heard about you, I can tell that it also kind of grow organically, right?
Totally. Yeah, exactly. And you know, in fact, when I went to my first farmer's market, I remember talking to my sister-in-law and I said, "Yeah, I'm just going to go to a farmer's market. I'm just going to sell this mustard. You know, I had a name, smack dab. I'm just going to sell it for a while and then I'm planning on going back to school in the fall because I knew that working in the restaurant industry wasn't going to be my forever career. I knew that I was going to do something else in the food industry, but I was actually, you know, I was planning on going back to school. And then I just went to a couple farmers markets and just the response I received was so rewarding and fulfilling. And I thought, wow, there's something here. So I thought, why not just try it and see where it goes? So yeah, I went to a few farmers markets and it just kind of snowballed from there. Slowly we, you know, went into more markets, which led to a few small stores, which led to scaling up our production. And you know, here we are 9 years later.
Yeah, amazing. I can see that you speak very well. You are a very good storyteller, and I did my research about you and found that you also do a lot of speech at different events. And I was reading a LinkedIn post about you, and you were talking at an event about the importance of why
Yeah.
and the importance of the story behind every brand. Tell us a bit more about why is it important.
Yeah, you know, and I think that in this day and age, in 2023, when there's so much noise in the marketplace, when there's so many products out there, having a purpose behind your brand is really what's going to drive you forward and just differentiate you from the crowd, so to speak. Because yeah, there is so many products out there, and I think that when people get fuzzy about why they're doing what they're doing, it doesn't, you know, resonate in their brand, doesn't resonate in their social media, and people kind of feel like there's not really anything there for them. And ultimately, you want to resonate with your customers. You want them to feel like what your purpose and your why are, you know, are important to them and they solve their problems. So this whole kind of thing around why, there's a book called from Simon Sinek called Find Your Why or Start With Why. And basically he talks about the golden circle and how it's kind of a diagram he uses and how why is at the center of it and how so often when we talk about our business, when we're pitching, when we're, you know, communicating with our customers, we always want to tell them what our product is. You know, it's a gourmet mustard. Okay, well, why? But why does it exist? And you know, that is really the root of it, and it's a more compelling way to sell what you're doing. And because why you do it is really the root of it. And so when I learned this, I've read this book many times. When I learned this, it really changed the way we did business because for so long, I think a lot of business owners out there, they're so focused on what they're doing and how they're doing it. So they're creating this product and it's, you know, it's keto, it's gluten friendly, it's, you know, allergen friendly and all these things. But why do people do what we do? And really, that's really what customers care about. They don't really buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And for us in Smack Dab, we believe in the power of home cooking. And that's really been the root of why we do what we do for so long. You know, it goes back to my culinary days, like I was just telling you, when people would ask me how to cook things or what recipes to make this, and I would share with them, you know, how to do it and that it really goes back to my love and my passion for sharing food and the power and the romantics it brings with you know cooking for your loved ones or you know gathering around a charcuterie board with your girlfriends with a glass of wine and just catching up. Like that kind of stuff, it just gives me butterflies. And so that was kind of the emotion we wanted to strike with Smack Dab in a really fun, playful, and lighthearted way. Because even though we are definitely a premium product, you know, like many small businesses are, you know, we use premium products and that really matters to us. But the purpose is really what drives us. So, yeah, that's kind of a little bit about the why. I could talk all day about purpose and why in your business and how to communicate that to your customers and just why it's so important and why really I think that as business owners, the root of it is we forget to about the why, and we just focus on the what so much, but it really can set you apart.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you because I usually see that early stage founders mostly focus on the product itself and how to make it better rather than like just thinking about how can I tell more about it and why am I doing this to my customers. And I think it's also very important when it comes to entering a new market and market expansion. So, how did you identify and enter a new market for your product?
Well, you know, I think that we had to really think about what customers were right for us. So, kind of typically our products were usually merchandised in the deli, especially in the larger Sobeys and Safeway stores. So for us, we're kind of above the meat and the cheese. So definitely more like charcuterie driven. So that was kind of the positioning we were given in those stores. Sometimes it's not always the positioning that you choose, but it's just kind of what you're given. So you have to really roll with it. So for us, that was our positioning in those stores. So when we were thinking about, what stores would be great for us to expand in, we really want to focus on Western Canada, especially BC. So at the time, we were going to trade shows and we were, just trying to get our product out there. This was a long time ago. This was probably 2017 or 18 now. Which feels like a lifetime ago now, but we were going to trade shows. And we were really just trying to find the right fit, the right relationship to really push our product into these markets, and really the ones that can execute it. And so for us, we were very fortunate that we found a really great distribution partner in BC that really focused on deli and cheese and meats, and also carried other similar products for that category. Not that we're necessarily competition with us, but I guess are in a way, but our products could marry well with and really coexist very beautifully beside. So it was a really great transition for us to move over with those distribution partners that allow us to grow into the Thrifty Foods, which is the Sobeys in BC, and then the Safeways, Fresh Street Markets, the Urban Fairs, all those really boutique-y high-end grocery stores that we knew would be a good fit for our product. So, in the end, we wanted to really find the right fit for our product. We kind of had this vision of, our ideal customer, and it was the BC market. And also, Alberta, we're growing in Alberta too with a similar distributor in that province too. And it came down to just finding that partner and really going after them. And we actually had kind of found Lekker, that's our distributor, ahead of time. And we're like, okay, if we can meet these guys and if we can pitch to them and if we can land them, it would be the dream distribution partner. And we did. So it's been a wonderful avenue for us.
Yeah, what you have done is so amazing. You are in about 400 retailers, right? Your product.
Yeah, exactly. So we kind of vary. We have some really strong retailers, like I mentioned, the Fresh Street, the Urban Fairs, the Thrifty Foods, and then Sobeys, Safeway across Western Canada, except for Saskatchewan. And then we also have lots of, butcher shops and those kind of things. But we also work with a rep agency, a gift agency that we sell our products directly to a lot of high-end gift stores. So those might be, kind of high-end food stores as well, gift markets, because, luckily the way our product is positioned, we do kind of fall nicely in the grocery store, high-end grocery store, but also the gift as well. And we have kind of some different products that are targeted for gift as well. So we've kind of diversified our product that was purposeful in that way, so we could fit the bill for a few different revenue streams for us. So we can have this rep agency that has reps, individual reps across the country that targets individual stores. And then we also have these distributors in Canada that are going after the retail. So it's worked really well for us. And it allows our product to be in some great stores across the Canada, whereas, we're a small team here. We don't have a sales force ourselves, so they are our sales force on the ground.
Yeah, that's amazing. And did you face any unique challenge or consideration when expanding into different regions or customer segments?
Yeah, there's always challenges, because the worry that you have is you're going to expand and then nobody's going to care about you and nobody's going to really want to try your product, and it's going to fall flat and stores won't carry you again. So there are certain considerations we put into place to really just to a little bit of exposure and just to help that. So when we launch into a new gift or boutique store, we often send some promotional materials. So we have little table tent cards that have some QR codes that take people to our website where they can see recipes and get super inspired. So and then maybe has a little bit of description about our product and what we do, just kind of ways to catch the customer's eye. And then we also kind of something that we wanted to invest in was these little recipe booklets. So with every order to stores, we throw in a little bundle of these recipe booklets that were completely free, that these stores could put next to our product, so customers could grab a freebie with the product and take it with them. And that stuff costs money. It's an investment. It's not necessarily money that you're gonna, get back from the customer. It's just an investment in the sale. And I feel like that's been super helpful for us. I do recommend companies invest in this, is point of sale material. So whether it's a little a tent card that has a QR code that takes them to your a really great sales page on your website, or if you're an ingredient like us that you can put a little recipe card out or a booklet for people to get really inspired and say, oh, like I want to make that at home, I'll take that jar. Sometimes you need to invest in things like that to really push your product forward, because and then if your product is good, which it, you know, hopefully it is, customers try it, they like it, and then they rebuy and then they repurchase and then they tell their friends about it and then they try it and then they tell their friends. So really you have to focus on like a pyramid of targeting that person at the top, whether it's, you know, in-store sampling or if they buy it at a store with a promotional material and then they like it and then they tell their friends and then it just trickles down into a really strong customer base. And I think for us, investing in those materials like the point of sale materials has been really crucial. So it kind of helps that customer experience.
Yeah, definitely. I agree and I understand what you mean. And I think you are one of the best person to go to or ask about working with retailers because you have great insights into that. So I'm sure that many of the audience while listening to this podcast, they may think of, okay, I have a product and it's my dream to sell it to the like the big famous grocery stores and have it there on the shelf. So what do you think are the first few things they should do before pitching their products to them?
Yeah, great question. So this could be a long answer. So I think the first thing is important. If you have goals of hitting these retailers, which is amazing, and everyone should have those goals because they can be incredibly profitable and incredible for growth and can lead to great things. But there's a few things that are definitely like non-negotiables. A, you need to have your manufacturing able to scale up. So are you able to double? Are you able to triple your manufacturing volume? And are you able to do that at the scale and at the price that is manageable? So if you scale up, would it increase your price too much that you would outprice yourself from the market? Or can you scale up affordably that'll allow you to kind of stay where you are? Because if you pitch to a store at a certain price, but then you've scaled up and you need to, you know, increase your right price by like 30%, that's not a very good first impression as you're firstly listed in these stores, and also just for your consumers. I mean, price increases are very normal. But I would say like in the 2 to 5, maybe even 7%, you know, we're in a crazy inflation world right now, but anything higher than that, you have to be really careful. So I would say to make sure you can scale up affordably and effectively so you can meet these new stores and potentially these new demands. So that'd be the first one. And you should definitely have that under kind of in your mind and able to do. Maybe you're not doing it quite yet, but yes, you can take that step, no problem, right away. So that'd be the first one. The second one is to make sure your marketing is under control. So if you don't have anybody in house that's doing your social media, that's managing your website, that's able to maybe do newsletters, and not that newsletters need to be super well curated or really highly designed, just getting really valuable information out to your wonderful customers that love you and buy you already, you should have that in place. So I used to do all the social media myself. Not a good thing. It's incredibly tiring. It's exhausting. It takes a lot of time. So I highly recommend, and I'm not saying you need to hire somebody in-house. We have somebody in-house now, but that took years to get there. So for a long time, I outsourced it with an agency. So what I would do is I would, if I were somebody really wanting to break into the market, I just take that off your like, take that hat off. You don't want to hold on to that hat anymore of the marketing thing, because it's a huge deal and you're going to have enough things on your plate. So, you know, I would get out there, I'd start talking to some agencies, I'd start talking to some people and getting a feel of who they're using, what they're liking, who they're not liking. Maybe there's a freelance person you can bring in for a day a week to shoot some content in your kitchen. And, you know, that kind of has an idea of how to grow your brand. And like I said, you know, before talking about why, how to communicate your why to your customers. Because sometimes it takes somebody else to come in with external eyes to communicate that more effectively than you can. So I highly recommend bringing somebody into your team that can work with you, you know, maybe one day a week or even just one day a month, just to give you a bunch of content and to manage that side for you. Because I will say, in this era of TikTok and, you know, now there's threads and social media, if you don't really have a social media or brand strategy or marketing strategy, you're going to just disappear. It's really non-negotiable anymore. And I think that a lot of people are in denial about that. But you're just going to become irrelevant if you don't try. So, and I'm not saying you need to have, you know, there's a lot of really robust brands out there that post, you know, 6 stories a day. They're posting a, you know, a TikTok every day. I'm not saying you need to do that. You know, there's has to be a little bit of content generated to build your brand and to build awareness and to get your purpose and your why across. And also just for the people that are already buying your product, to keep them interested in your product, because people can lose interest really quickly, especially in the competition, you know, how much competition there is. So I would say to kind of start looking at investing. My long and short answer is start looking at investing in marketing and really bringing someone into your team. The other thing would be, if you're wanting to get into these stores, you're probably going to have to look at a distribution partner, especially if you're wanting to get to the scale of these stores. You can obviously, you know, do DSD, direct to store, for a couple accounts close to you. But especially if you're a one-man show, that gets very hard after a while. So I would definitely recommend starting to look at distributors in your area. So in Manitoba here, we use DeLuca's. I know, you know, there's different ones across each province, but I think the big key, unless you have somebody on your staff that can act as a salesperson, or you have somebody on your staff that can act as a delivery person, and you have that kind of hierarchy in place, you can execute that, but it does limit you outside of the province. So distribution's a huge one. I think it changed the game for us. It allowed us to grow into, you know, new markets, more stores, and a very effective and consistent way. So the downside to distribution is, you know, you're you know, losing a little bit of your margin, but there are a lot of benefits to it as well. And we just personally found it was a game changer for us when we took that step. And there's a whole another topic, like the whole distribution is another topic to talk about as well, but I would say that's another consideration as well. And the last one would be, you know, say for example, you have your scale up, you have, you know, some marketing in place, you have support, you have distribution. The last step would probably just be support to those stores. So what does that look like? That looks like, you know, having your marketing person really support these stores. So, you know, telling your customers about where to find it and where it is in the store, showing them actual visuals of where it is and, you know, the price points and so that support. And then you want to think about promotional schedules. Maybe you want to run ads every once in a while. So working with that store and that banner about promotional schedules and how deep of a discount and how much the store is willing to give up, and kind of finding that agreement there. That is huge, because you will move massive volumes in those stores if you look at those cycles. So that is a super important thing. And that happens 6 months ahead of time of when the promo starts. So it's important to think about those a lot in advance and working with your distribution and working with your stores on that. That's another thing. And then, like I talked about, you want to talk about point of sale materials. So, you know, those table tent cards in the stores, getting people to scan those QR codes, that sort of thing. And what did I miss? And then the last thing I say was just do maybe some in-store sampling. Sorry, I know this is a really long answer to your question.
But I really like it.
I can't stop when they get going. And then I would say some in-store sampling. So getting into some stores, communicating with some customers, communicating with the people, telling them about your brand. Just like emulate your excitement and your passion, because people want to see that. And they will probably buy your product just for your sheer passion before they even taste it. So that's contagious. So that's really important too. In-store sampling is tough, you know, especially if it's just you. But there are a lot of agencies out there. I know we're kind of post-COVID now. There's a lot of agencies that are doing a lot more samplings in stores now. I highly recommend that too, but make sure that they're trained properly, make sure they have the right education to really effectively communicate your product and your purpose and your why and all that kind of stuff. So the long and short of it is that's kind of the process I would really think about from start to finish. And it's continuous. Like, we're in a lot of stores now and we're not done. Like, we're constantly working with, you know, the very beginning, we're still, you know, battling our manufacturing and working on that, because there's always glitches, you know, our marketing, we're always trying to tweak that and pivot. And, you know, just the in-store sampling, and we have an agency we work with in different cities. And yeah, it's an ongoing grind, I guess, if you will, but it's fun and it's fulfilling. And but yeah, it can be very, very beneficial if you execute it all properly.
Thank you so much. Like, great insight. I'm very happy. Talk about this. No wonder you're successful. I can see that you really put your passion, everything, when you are like talking about it. And from your social media, because I follow your posts, I see you that you are already showing up in the post. You share some recipes with your audience, because you want to show you and yourself behind your brand, which is amazing.
Definitely. And it's hard though, because, you know, on a day to day, I'm not always in the videos because I can't always be there, but it's definitely like part of my goal is for X number of times a month we do filming with me and talking to my customers, talking to our community, you know, and just like communicating with them. And it is hard to always be there, but I try my best. So yeah.
Yeah, you're already doing amazing, no doubt.
Thank you.
And one more question about the partnership with these big retailers. As you won already a prize in 2019 for one of the best local partners, what do you think made that partnership successful?
I think it's something that's always ongoing, but I think with Sobeys specifically, I think it just really starts with communication with them. And you know, obviously they have so many big players that they work with. You know, they're working with the Kraft Heinz of the world. They're working with these huge, you know, Kellogg's. They're working with massive food producers. And so I think that as a small producer, all you can do is just show that you're trying your best. Like, you know, communicate with them. Reach out to your local, you know, like in Manitoba, we have a local business development kind of for the local brands. Reach out to them, show that you're trying, you know, talk about your sales, talk about if you're not happy about them, how you want to improve them, or how you're just doing your best. And then also, I think that it helps you have a distribution partner in place too that also communicates and you communicate with them. And I think that, you know, going back to the social media, you promote the stores. You talk about how, you know, they're wonderful partners and how they, you know, they're trying to promote a small business. And so I think that the number one thing I think you can do is just communicate with them and just show that you're doing your best to support them and they'll try and support you. And I think that, you know, Sobeys is a wonderful, probably our biggest customer, you know, from the different banners across the country. And you know, yeah, I'm like, do we always support them as much as we should? No, because we're not perfect. It's a business. You know, we have a lot of hats and we're, you know, we have a lot of stores to support, but I think it's just that you do your best to try and support what they're looking for. And they do have things they're looking for. You know, they might look for, you know, certain amount of discounts a year, or certain, you know, expectations of volume. And you just do it. You just do your best to fill those. And that's really all the best. So I'd say communication is key. And you know, we just really appreciate how supportive they've been to local businesses in Manitoba and across the prairie. So yeah, they've been wonderful.
Yeah, great. So communication and mutual understanding, right?
Totally. Yeah, definitely.
Great. You know, many entrepreneurs have guiding principles that drive their business, and I'm sure you also have one. But what do you think, like, how they have influenced your journey as an entrepreneur? I mean, your values and beliefs.
So what would be like my top values and beliefs of guide, like
Yeah,
what they.
that's like also influenced your journey as an entrepreneur.
That is such a hard question. Oh my goodness. I say, you know what? I think that it comes down to you have to find fulfillment in what you do. If you're not, you might as well just go work a 9 to 5 and then just be, you know, a clock in, clock out. So I think the important thing for me is I have to find fulfillment in what I do. And I also think it's rooted in just and sharing happiness and, you know, not to be froofy, but love and just good vibes. Like that's kind of the vibe of us right now. I was talking to Eden, who's my social media marketing girl. And, you know, she's been really good to bring in because I think before I had her on staff, I was just really like every day looking at like analytics and data and reports and just like invoicing and just being very analytical and not really enjoying the process very much. I kind of got to the point in my business where I wasn't enjoying it as much as I should have. And she was like, you know what, Carly, we're in our fun era. We need to have fun and we need people to see that because they're going to love us more. And I think that we're doing that right now. Like, I'm having fun every day. And even when there are days that are really hard, and there's a lot right now because business right now, I just, first of all, sending my love to all business owners listening to this, things are really hard right now. Like, inflation sucks. You know, packaging is volatile. Like there's all sorts of disruptions. Things are hard, but I think that you have to come into work and just say, you know what? I'm gonna look past all those things that are frankly crappy right now, and I'm just gonna like love my product and love it and love sharing it with people. And I think when you do that, it really puts on a different lens of your business, and it just kind of makes things more fun. And then when people see you're having more fun, they just want to be part of it. I don't know. I think it's a mindset of just being more joyful and positive and just really trying to enjoy the ride, because I think that it's easy right now to get bogged down in the hard stuff because there's a lot of hard stuff right now. Like we're obviously we buy a lot of mustard. The crop is looking really bad right now. It's really dry in Saskatchewan. So we're, you know, looking at a really high cost, a really new input that's going to be high for us this fall and winter. But you know what? It is what it is. And I'm optimistic that we're going to figure it out and we're going to make it work because we have for 9 years. So I don't know. I don't know if that really answers your question because it's a hard question to answer, but I think we're kind of in our just really embracing the hard right now and we're just trying to have fun with it and we're just doing our best. So yeah.
From what I understood is just being positive and share your love with your partners, customers, yeah. And also your staff and employees.
Totally. Yeah. And sorry, if I could just add one thing. And the one thing that we wanted to do this year, so I'll rewind a bit. So I had a baby, he's just over 2 now. So for a couple years, like I feel like ever since COVID, so COVID hit, I had my baby. I feel like those years, those 3 years are just kind of a blur to me. I feel like I was just kind of coasting in business. I didn't really have the mental capacity to really give much more. I was wanting to enjoy being a mom. COVID was very volatile. And so I think coming out of that as a new mom and like I had this new just new outlook on the business and how I just, yeah, I want to have more fun. So the one thing we wanted to do more of was really fun collaboration. So I don't want to spoil anything, but we have a really fun collaboration coming up with a local company here in Winnipeg where our two ingredient and products like kind of just blended. And it's just such a fun product that we can't wait to share. And then we launched a new flavor just this past week, actually. And we're hoping to launch that into the fall. And then we have a really, really amazing collaboration with a local company here in Winnipeg. And I don't want to spoil it, but we're doing a mustard with them, hopefully in the fall as well, just available kind of online. So things like that, as you can tell by the grin on my face, bring me so much joy and get me so excited about this company. And I think that if I have any advice for companies out there that feel like they're struggling and feel like they're just having a hard time getting inspired, maybe think of doing a collaboration with another company because it really just allows you to mold with another company and get excited about something. And I think that this whole approach that we've had, again, to have fun and really embrace like this lively part of our business is just really breathe new life into it. So it's been really cool.
Yeah, definitely. It's cool. And you have a son. He's so cute. How do you manage being a businesswoman and being a mom?
I don't manage to answer your question. I don't. Like, it's hard. He's 2 years old. He's at home with me for a couple of days a week just due to a whole childcare, you know, situation, which I'm sure a lot of people could sympathize with. But yeah, I don't manage. I struggle a lot of the time. And that's the thing is that I, you know, people say, oh, how do you achieve work by life balance? I don't have a balance. It's very teeter tottery. Like some days I feel like I'm a rock star. And then some days I don't get anything done. So I just do my best. And you know, right now, I'm very fortunate to have people in smack dab on our team that can definitely, you know, take on some of the weight that I used to have. Like the manufacturing side, we have that really well and taken care of by our team. And then I have Eden on staff who takes care of our marketing and she's just got it. You know, she's taken that hat so that when I have my days with my son, I'm all in as a mother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously I'm, you know, checking my phone, checking my emails mm-hmm. for anything, but I'm really fortunate that right now I'm in the position in the business that it's kind of established to the point where I can enjoy my time with him. But it is hard. It's so hard. Being a parent is so hard, but it's so rewarding. And I'm really grateful that I'm really grateful for my husband, who's also very supportive. But it's a roller coaster, that's for sure. Yeah.
And thank you so much for being honest, because usually people try to say, I'm doing everything. I have a good plan. I'm using task management tools.
So, you know what? It's so funny. Like I started this task management tool and for like 2 days I had it scheduled in and then I can't even refer to it now because the days are so all over the place. Like you got to go pick him up from daycare. He's sick. He's got like hand, foot and mouth or something. And then, you know, you have this random call from a person with something that needs to be done yesterday. So it's a gong show a lot of the days, but you know what? It's my gong show and I love it. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for, you know, everything that I have. And you have to just embrace it and laugh. I laugh a lot because sometimes you just laugh at how disastrous your day seems to be. Just, you know, not, you know, your to-do list is not getting done, but it's okay. And you just kind of go with it. So it's life.
Yeah, definitely. You have a great energy. And I think you're successful. Also, one of the main reasons is that.
Thank you.
If you could start the smack dab over again, what would you do differently? Like, are there any specific mistakes or challenge?
You know, I wouldn't do anything differently. I have to say, I wouldn't do anything differently. The things that I don't even know, like, I think that the failures I had turned into such wonderful learning experiences. I don't even really look at them as failures anymore. So I couldn't even recount any big ones because they just kind of molded. And I always believe that if a door closes, like something opens. So, you know, we've had distribution partnerships that fell through and that sucked. But, you know, then we learned what distribution partners are not for us. Like, for example, we worked with a health foods distributor in Ontario a long time ago, and we thought it was going to be the best move ever, but nobody in the health food stores wanted our product. So mm-hmm. I remember hearing this, and I was so defeated. But then I think it was my mom said to me, well, then you're not a health food product. You just learned something about your business. You're not for the health foods. And it's true. Since then, the health food market is not our niche. We just avoid it because we know that's just not our jam. We're more gourmet. We're more the high-end grocers. So, you learn things from your mistakes and things that go wrong. So I can honestly say there's been lots of partnerships or lots of relationships with people that have maybe gone wrong. And then I'm like, okay, I maybe didn't vet them properly, or maybe I didn't speak up when I should have, and I was too afraid of, you know, hurting their feelings, and, you know, things like that, that you learn. And then you kind of go into the next one and be like, okay, I don't like this. I'm going to be more vocal. So there's so many things like that. So to answer your question, I don't think I would have changed much. I love that we started very
humbly. You don't have to change it.
Yeah. I love that we started super humbly. I love that we started at a farmer's market. And I love that that was our start, because I think it just set the pace for where we are now. And we have, you know, customers with us now that I met at the very first week at the farmer's market when we started. And so the fact that those people are still with us. Yeah. So yeah, I don't think I'd change anything. So yeah.
Amazing. I really enjoy talking to you. And just to close it, do you have any advice or suggestion or last word you want to add?
Yeah, I just want to say, if there's any business owners listening to this, things are not easy right now. They are challenging. We're in a challenging, you know, market with inflation and the cost of groceries. And I sympathize if you're feeling defeated and lost, but I can promise you, I'm there too. I feel it too some days, but just, you know, remember why you started and make sure that you're communicating that to your customers, because ultimately that will cut through the noise of everything else out there. And if they are the customer for you, they will continue to buy your product. If they're not the customer for you, they might come back to you, or they might just not be your ideal customer. So just stay consistent, stay true to who you are. And yeah, we're all in this together, because I know there's a lot of businesses right now that are struggling and are frustrated and feeling defeated, but you're not the only one. So yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your insight and feelings with us. How people can reach out to you?
Well, social media is a great place. You follow us on Instagram, SmackDabMustard. That's probably the best place. Yeah, we can chat there. And then, I love, if you have any questions, or if you want to wallow too, to feel free to send me a message. And you can reach me there.
Thank you, Carly.
Thank you.
Thank you to our listeners for indulging your entrepreneurial appetite with this episode of Friends of Feedies. If anything we've discussed today has ignited that entrepreneurial fire within you, and you're not quite sure how to get started, or you're just craving some mentorship and coaching to fuel your business growth, please reach out to us at www.feed.ca. That's FEAD.ca. The Feed team is here to be your sous chefs, supporting you every step of the way. Connect with us on social media or via email. We're sprinkled all over the digital landscape. Our team is ready to provide mentorship, community, and coaching that you need to flourish. At Feed, we're here to empower women and all entrepreneurs in the agri-food industry. So don't hesitate to reach out and join our vibrant community of like-minded food producers. Until next time, keep baking those dreams into reality, stay hungry, and continue to nourish your entrepreneurial spirit with Feed. Bon appétit.